My name is Kate Coons, and I am an advisory board member for the Andy Tyson Memorial Fund.
Where are you based? Where do you live?
Victor, Idaho.
Idaho.
I actually moved here because I still work for Knowles, which is based in Lander. And so I started working winter courses and just started traveling more in the backcountry. And it kind of just became my winter sport.
How did you even find out about the Grand Traverse race?
Well, I've heard about it for years, and I've had a friend, actually, there are six of us traveling down from Victor to do the race, and the other two teams are racing for our friend AJ, who died in a plane crash with our friend Andy. They both died in a plane crash last April, and they were really good friends of ours, and I thought this would be kind of a cool way to honor Andy, but I actually thought about doing it last year, and I had no idea it was so popular, so I literally woke up on December 1st and poured myself a cup of coffee and leisurely got on the computer and I went to sign up and it was like, oh, it's full. So, but I turned 40 in July and I think that was a couple months after our friends died. And I think I kind of just made this, I just said to myself, I'm going to do all these things that I've been talking about doing and just make them happen. And both of our friends who passed away were incredible athletes, and they always did these amazing expeditions. And so it just felt like the right way to honor them.
Were they traveling at the adventuring at the time?
No, actually, Andy Tyson was a part owner of a alternative energy company here in Victor, providing solar and wind power. And AJ worked for him. And so one other employee, so it was three of them plus a pilot were flying out to a remote ranch on the Salmon River to check out the ranch because they were going to install solar and wind power out there, and their plane crashed as they took off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, it's somewhat ironic because both Andy and AJ have traveled the world to very remote locations on mountaineering expeditions, climbing expeditions, bike expeditions, you know, things that probably keep their parents awake at night. And then I think, you know, living in a rural area, that's not an uncommon thing. Like, oh, I'm going to take a plane to wherever to work today. And so we just don't, like, that's kind of a normal piece of risk, I think, that exists in our world. And so it just seemed like, oh, okay. It was devastating. It was really sad. It still is sad.
Of course. I'm really sorry to hear that. So the memorials that you are setting up, can you talk to me about those and how they honor them?
Yeah. So the Andy Tyson Memorial Fund was set up by Molly Tyson, who's Andy's widow, and they, both of them traveled around the world, teaching people how to climb, on mountaineering expeditions. And, you know, Andy had worked at the Khumbu Climbing School. Andy and Molly went on a trip to Burma to climb the disputed highest peak in Southeast Asia with a number of Burmese climbers in an effort to teach them how to do that and potentially take tourists on that. He'd been to China, Pakistan, all over the place. And it was kind of, even though he was one of the most humble people ever and skilled, but that was kind of his, as he got older, he was like, I'm going to travel and I'm going to teach people how to do this stuff so they can do it on their own. And so Molly felt like this was a really perfect way to honor him. And so the fund is set up to provide scholarships for people in developing mountain nations to either go on their own expedition or receive further training. So whether that's a Knowles course or something like an AMGA course or something so that they can bring that skill back to their country and then, you know, have that trickle down effect of teaching people there. And, you know, if you go to Nepal or something, you're learning from a Nepalese person as opposed to a guide from our country. And the AJ, the team that's skiing for AJ Rides On is what they're called. It's a fund that's basically set up that it'll end this summer. And it's basically trying to earn as much money as it can to build mountain bike trails right out of Victor. And we have an amazing network of mountain bike trails in the Teton Valley in Idaho. And this will connect right from town to everything that's in the mountains in the Tetons. And so it was something that AJ, he was probably ranked second in the country in single speed, like long distance racing, sponsored athlete, and just an amazing guy. And so, you know, he was always on a scene around town on his bike and riding everything. And so in true AJ fashion, the trail that we're building goes straight uphill and would be pretty much impossible for anybody but AJ. So they've raised, I think they've raised close to $40,000 for that, which will really go towards the machines that it'll take to cut the trail. And then there's been a huge community effort of people just last summer working on the trails. And so the money will basically go towards that, and then the fund will be done. Whereas the Andy Tyson Memorial Fund, right now the goal we've set is for 10 years to see how it goes and then kind of see where we're at in 10 years.
Wow, that's really ambitious. I mean, you got to create a whole board and a whole new organization to make that work.
Yeah, and you know, fortunately, you know, Andy is well connected, and our board is a very diversified group of people. But we all actually know each other from having worked at Knowles. And so for, 20 some odd years ago, you know, a lot of us started working for Knowles and have spent many a nights, you know, hunkered in tents and storms and have been in real situations with one another. And that has kind of, you know, turned into these like really genuine friendships. And so when the accident happened, people were like, I want to do something to honor my friend. And so, yeah, and it's all, you know, Molly's she's a writer. And so she also had this incredible vision of, you know, we have to do something in Andy's honor. So
at what point did you decide that you would actually race this year? And how long have you been training?
Well, when we found out that you could enter as a charity entrant and you could just sign up before the December 1st deadline, we were like, we should do it because we don't know if we'll even get in if we wait till December. And so in September, we decided it was kind of a no-brainer because I've been involved with a lot of the fundraising efforts for the Andy Tyson Memorial Fund through films and just local, you know, local events and whatnot. And I just said this would be a perfect way to do it. And we found out mid-September that we got in. And I would say, I mean, when I read a lot of blogs of what people are doing to train, sometimes I feel okay and sometimes I feel terrified because, I mean, some people are professionals, like this is what they do. And I've never done a Eskimo race, but my friends and I, we just spend all of our time in the mountains. And we've, you know, whether working for Knowles or on our own personal expeditions, we've spent really long days in the mountains where we've suffered and it's been fine. And so... So our training regimen has really just been, I'm usually on my skis 5 to 6 days a week. And part of that is I work as a ski guide as well in the winter. So some days I'm just guiding all day long and I chalk that up to training. And, CrossFit of course has become kind of part of our regimen 2 to 3 times a week and doing some kind of focused, strength training. And then we've done some, you know, long days where we just kind of like slog on flat stuff, which is perfect because I have 2 Brittany Spaniels who need an exorbitant amount of exercise. So it's perfect to drag them along. But I would say we're all really busy. You know, a number of us have jobs that are just kind of all over the place. And so but all very active jobs. So I would say that we've been training, but I wouldn't say that we've been in like serious focus training, and we all just generally kind of stay in shape. But we just went to Alaska. 3 of us were in Alaska up outside of Valdez and skiing up there. So we were chalking that up to training and having a great time.
Yeah.
In really cool terrain.
When are you going to get to Colorado? What's your plan? Are the dogs coming?
They're not, because I think just there's so much logistics involved with getting down there and where we're staying. So a bunch of us are driving down on the 23rd, and the plan is on the 24th to just have a day to go for a really nice, mellow tour. And then the 25th, just try and eat well and sleep and then just do the race, which is crazy how soon it's coming up. But we're excited, and, you know, I think, of course, we'll be nervous, but I think that's part of the fun of it. So
have you studied the course and tried to, you know, replicate that or mentally prepare for the parts that are going to be most taxing?
You know, that would be really good. And this seems to be my MO. Like, I've run a lot of marathons and I've done bike races, and I find sometimes that I actually excel a little bit more when I don't know what to expect so much. But I've had a lot of friends who live down in that area who have spent a lot of time on the course, and so gotten a lot of information from people. A good friend of mine did it last year and have spent a bunch of time talking with him and looking at the maps. And so kind of have an idea of like, okay, this is where it's going to be lots of uphill, or this is where it's really going to suck. This is where you're going to feel terrible because, you know, know, you're dehydrated at that point. Or, and I think honestly, for me, the biggest piece is when I do long races is the nutrition piece and trying to nail that. And so I feel like my body is conditioned well to just go, you know, whether we're not trying to win, we just want to finish it and not feel terrible. And so I just want to make sure that we're getting the right food and water so that we're not feeling terrible at the end.
It's a partner race, you know, partially for safety because you're in the middle pitch black of night going up, you know, a summit. Are you training with your partner or what's your partnership like?
Yeah, well, my partner, Aaron Merrick, is one of my best friends. And we just, we have been training quite a bit together. She's a nurse, so when she's on shift, she's kind of, you know, she's out for the count for that. But when she's off, we've definitely had some longer days. And some of those days have been, we've been trying to do traverses up and over the Tetons. So either from the Jackson side over to our side, which are great because, you know, a lot of times it just involves a lot of elevation gain and then some really fun powder skiing and then just some slogging in general. And we've spent a lot of time traveling with one another. And I think where we keep coming back to is just that we just share the same mindset. You know, if things aren't going well and we have equipment failures, it's not like one of us is going to be really upset. You know, it's just we've accepted that we're doing this together and it's about fun and we're doing it in honor of Andy. And, you know, that's the important part. And so hopefully we don't have any equipment failures or whatnot, but I feel like we're good problem solvers together and we just have kind of a mutual respect and just a shared mindset about it. And I feel like that's going to be the key piece because any race like this is just about your mental state. So,
yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that and mindset because most people, if they heard about this race, would just say that you're crazy. For trying to do it. But you have that added element of this is for a bigger cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes it feel really special. I actually got an email from Andy's parents who are older. They're probably in their 80s. And they sent me an email yesterday. And it was just so sweet about how, you know, they're so honored that we've chosen to do this, you know, for Andy. And it's totally a race that Andy would have done. And he wouldn't have told anybody about it. And he probably would have won, you know? And so I'm like, well, we won't be winning. But, you know, it's, yeah, I think that for us, it's the added benefit of doing it for him and doing it for AJ. You know, it's just that both of them were huge mentors for us. AJ was a ski guide as well, and he was definitely one of the people who kind of pushed me to get into that field. And so both of them, yeah, are really inspiring.
You have some experience from your training in Oregon of backcountry avalanche. Has that come up at all in your training this winter? Have there been avalanche areas, or is that something you feel prepared for come the end of the month when the race comes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I teach avalanche courses. That's definitely a part of my winter work. And my partner, Erin, also, she has her level 2. And so when we've done a lot of our traverses, we've definitely been in some areas that when we looked at them on the map, we're like, oh, we've done this in the summer. And then all of a sudden you're on a summer trail and you're looking up above you saying, oh, this is a little bit different. And so we've definitely had to assess things because we had kind of an unstable snowpack in early January for sure when the snowpack wasn't so deep. And so that it feels like a pretty regular thing that we do. My job at Knowles is I help train instructors in the winter. So I'm out 2-3 times a week with instructors and we're digging in the snow and certainly assessing it. So it feels like that's just a normal part of what we do, which I feel really lucky that topic of risk, I mean, going back to mindset, is something that it's just always in the forefront of my brain. Like, I am doing something risky, so what am I going to do to mitigate those hazards? I'm going to make good decisions. I'm going to travel with people that I trust, that I can say when I'm feeling uneasy about something. And so that's a huge piece for me when I travel in the mountains, is I need to be able to say what I feel to the people that I'm with.
So you're also a downhill skier or have experience in that?
Yeah. Yep. I started skiing when I was about 5 in the great state of New Jersey, which teaches you to be an amazing skier because I'm pretty sure it was all ice. At like one of those little, you park at the top and then you just ski down. And my biggest memories were actually like trying to push my sister off the rope toe. But yeah, I grew up skiing on the East Coast in Vermont and whatnot. And then I moved out west pretty much right after college. And it's been my, you know, that'd be the one thing like I wouldn't want to live without, would be a winter without skiing. So
So have you been to Aspen's mountains at all?
No, I haven't. That's what's so funny. I've never been skiing down in that area. So that'll be new for me for sure.
That's great. You know, it ends down Aspen Mountain. That's your final push and you're rushing down. What's that going to be like? And who's going to be your support crew down at the bottom? And just, can you imagine like those final moments rushing down Aspen Mountain?
Well, I mean, I think I'm hoping that I'm going to be like conscious enough to, you know, remember it. And I'm not going to feel so terrible. But so the funny part is so Molly, who's Andy's wife, she's been so excited that we're doing this. And she surprised Aaron and I with Wonder Woman outfits, which is underwear and a tank top. And she's like, you need to wear this for the race. And we're like, well, we probably won't wear it for the entire race. But Aaron and I plan to put it over whatever we are wearing so that we ski into Aspen with our Wonder Woman tank top and underwear on. I love the going to small towns and doing races because it seems like it just becomes this communal event. And so I just imagine people will be excited, and I just think it'll be neat to fly down that hill. But I do hear that, yeah, some people come down and just completely wreck. So it is my goal to not wreck, to actually make some nice turns on the way down would be great.
Well, what I hear from the people I've been talking to is that, you know, just to watch out, because once you've done one, you're going to want to do it every single year. So be prepared for that.
Well, I have heard that. And my partner, Aaron, turns 40 next year. And we were already joking because this year's been, I think, as I said, you know, turning 40 and just kind of being like, I'm going to make this year the best year and do all these things I've wanted to do. And it's been kind of one epic trip after another, which has been amazing. And I feel super lucky. And so she turns 40 next year and she's like, well, are you ready for another year like that? And I said, I'm in, you know, I am in. And I said, if we don't hate it too much, I will definitely do it again next year. So, so we're already looking ahead to that for sure.
And how close are you? What's your goal for the Grand Traverse part of the Andy Tyson Memorial? And how can people help with that?
So we made it a goal to raise $3,000. We really didn't know. And also realizing that because these two men have had such an impact on our community, there have been a number of events to raise money for both funds. And so we wanted to be sensitive to that fact that, hey, here we are again asking for money. But we've raised over $5,000. It's been really amazing. We've been raising it just through a PayPal account, tuckitfortyson@gmail.com on PayPal. And it's been wonderful. You know, people are like, oh, I'm sorry, we only donated $20. And I said, that's great. You know, all of that adds up. And so we feel really honored because we just put the application on the website. So we've been getting applications we have a bunch from Nepal. We're trying to get a female Sherpa who has been part of the Khumbu Climbing School a scholarship to come take a Knowles course. So we're kind of in the process of that. So it'll be exciting because I think right after the race, we'll be giving out our first scholarship. So it feels like the timing feels really appropriate as well. So we're really excited. It's so cool. And people just, I think, have really rallied, not only because it's Andy, but I think it's just a really neat idea, you know, to put put everything in, empower the folks in those countries to say, this is what I want to do. And then they have to fill out the application and they have to follow through. So it's putting the ball in their court to make it happen, which I think just sets a good example for what it's going to look like down the road when they want to make things happen in their own country.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked about that you want to make sure gets into the story?
It's been really cool to see how everything's kind of snowballed and the interest. And I think that doing this race, we've expanded our reach of who knows about the Andy Tyson Memorial Fund. And that feels really special. And reading about some of the other charity entrants, like people who've been doing the race year after year for the same charity, certainly gets me thinking, wow, this would be a totally Andy thing to do, is to do something like this every year, go suffer and raise money for a good cause. So maybe we'll be back. I don't know.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you too.
Yeah, take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.